I'd like to invite you this morning to open God's Word to the book of 2 Corinthians, if you can find chapter 9, and the very last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'd like to preach to you this message, very simple this morning. I want to call it gift-giving, God's way. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, just one verse. It's so short, but it's so powerful. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. The Apostle Paul says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." At some point on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, most of you will have an opportunity to open a Christmas gift. Some of you will open more than one. We have so much to be thankful for, and we think about this. Karen and I were talking this last week about how when we were little kids, we used to add up the number of times where we'd have gift-opening opportunities during the Christmas season. And I used to think about, you know, we used to get all together at my Aunt Sandra's house. She had a great basement, beautiful area to be there. And, you know, my grandmother was there and all the cousins. My grandmother and my Aunt Sandra are celebrating Christmas with the Lord, but the rest of us are still here, and we have those great, beautiful, wonderful memories. And I used to think there was one there, and there's one at school, and there'll be one in Sunday school on the Sunday before Christmas, and then there's Christmas at home. And I'd add it up. I'd have five or six opportunities where I would be opening gifts for Christmas, and just such a special thing to think about. And, you know, we give gifts because when the wise men showed up to give reverence and worship to the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't show up empty-handed. They understood that worship consists of giving, and they brought gifts, and the Bible says very clearly that they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, I'll tell you something I do know is a theological fact, and that is that those gifts were not wrapped. I'm 100% sure of that. You say, "Pastor, how's that?" Because the people who gave them were wise men. In other words, they were wise and they were men. Listen, wise men do not see the wisdom or the logic in wrapping something up with a whole bunch of beautiful, expensive paper just to watch another human being claw it all off and tear it into little bitty bits so they can get to what's inside. So I know that those wise men did not wrap those gifts. When you see gifts wrapped under our Christmas tree at home, nobody in the Davis household has any question about my gifts that I wrapped. I have never been able to wrap gifts, and I still don't get it. It is one of the mysteries of the universe to me. I can take a gift the size of a wallet, and I can lay it down on a piece of wrapping paper the size of a regulation volleyball court, and when I get finished, it will not be all the way wrapped. There will be something hanging out of the paper. I can't do it. My wife, on the other hand, is tremendously gifted at wrapping. You could give her a 12-inch by 12-inch piece of wrapping paper, and she could wrap a C-130 cargo plane. I'm telling you, she knows how to do it, and they all look just beautiful and perfect. And, you know, some people just have that gift, and some people don't. So, men, I'm going to write a book this Christmas, and it's going to be a great and useful book. I'm going to share it with you now. The title of the book is Gift Wrapping Tips for Men. And when you open it up, here is what the first page says. If at all possible, buy gifts that are already wrapped. There you go. That's my help for you for this Christmas season. I have learned this about giving gifts. The important thing when you give a gift is not what you give. And it's not even how you wrap it. The important thing for all of us to remember at this very special time of year is that you always save the receipt. Amen? I'm terrible at gift wrapping, but here's something that I've learned. All that I know about giving, I've learned from God. Because God is in the giving business. Going back all the way to the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam and Eve a piece of skin that was taken from an innocent, sinless animal that hadn't done anything to deserve death. And He gave them that to replace the fig leaves that they had sewed around their own selves, trying to cover up the shame of their nakedness that they now knew because they were sinners and estranged from God. I know that God gave Noah a plan to build a big boat called an ark that would provide safety to the saving of his household when a time of judgment came. I know that God gave to Sarah a precious miracle child in her old age, and she named him Isaac. And God gave to Hannah a beautiful little boy who grew up to be a prophet in Israel named Samuel. And God gave the Israelites possession of the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And then in their history, he sent them prophets to tell them the way that they could live in a way that was pleasing to the Lord, and to plead with them and to deliver amazing messages about the Messiah that was to come. I know that God has given us the scriptures to guide us through this life. God gave the shepherds a pronouncement by angels that his son was being born. And God gave the wise men a star in the east to guide them and to bring them exactly to the place where the young child was so that they could worship and give those gifts that first Christmas. And God gave Joseph an understanding heart and a wise mind to be able to deal with something that had never happened before and will never happen again, a virgin with child. And in doing that, God gave the world the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And God gave Jesus in the place of sinners on the cross. And God gave Jesus so that Jesus could give his life for us who are sinners. And God gives all of us the opportunity at pardon for our sins that we can know the joy of eternal life. So I say again, everything that I know about giving, I learned it in one place. Surely God is a great giver. We can learn an awful lot about giving from God. The scripture tells us in the best known verse of the Bible, John 3:16, that this is the way that God loved the world. That he gave his only begotten son. That whoever believes and trusts him will never perish, but will have everlasting life. Anything good in my life has come from God. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Jesus told the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. In Romans chapter 8, one of the high points of Scripture, Paul says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I say with Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let me give you four quick things to understand about God's great Christmas gift to us. Number one, it was a personal gift. It was a personal gift. All of us want to give a personal gift. When we give a gift at Christmas, we're not shopping for ourselves. If you find me walking around Walmart for myself, you'll find me in a completely different area than you find me if I'm shopping for my wife. She might want clothes, but I can guarantee you she doesn't want a set of camo. Right? She might be into some sporting goods, but she's not interested in a new set of broadheads, right? And so what I want to do is I want to make my gift fit the person that I'm shopping for. Well, God gave a personal gift by giving Jesus to die for our sins, because the fact is he came for everybody. He didn't just come for white people. He didn't just come for black people. He didn't just come for Americans. He didn't just come for people in the Western Hemisphere. He didn't come just for the rich or just for the poor. And he didn't come just for the wise and just for the unwise. Jesus came for all of us. And he laid down his life for every single human being. It was for you and for me, and he did it personally. And when he did it, he felt that personally, because he became, without ceasing to be all God, he became all man, completely human. That means he felt heartache and he knew loneliness and he longed for companionship and he was hungry. It's hard for us sometimes to remember Jesus in the human. It almost seems sacrilegious. But while he was all God, he was also all human. And when he stretched out his hands and he died on that cross, those nails hurt just like they would have hurt you and they would have hurt me. He saw that you needed a Savior. He saw that I needed forgiveness. And he gave a personal gift. He gave himself. And then secondly, God's gift was not only personal, but God gave us a practical gift. When I buy a gift for somebody, I certainly hope that it's something that's practical. I hope that it's something that can be useful. It may not be the best or the most expensive. But you know, there's that old saying that I've always questioned, and people say it's the thought that counts. Do you really believe that? Ladies, if your husband comes to you on Christmas Day and says, sweetheart, I thought about buying you something for Christmas, but I never got around to it. Let me ask you, is it the thought that really counts? No. There were two young boys who were discussing the upcoming Christmas season and all the toys that they hoped to receive. And one kid looked at the other and he said, listen, you need to understand something. Money can't buy happiness. The other one said, it can't. He said, no, money can't buy happiness. To be happy, you got to convert all the cash to toys. You know what it's like to get a gift that you really don't want or can't use? Gotten some of those? I used to joke with people about fruitcake being that. And it used to be that fruitcake was kind of the joke that people would, you know, give at Christmas time, like the white elephant gift. I want to tell you something. I was in Publix yesterday. The smallest fruitcake was $7, and the big ones were 12. It's come to the place where if somebody gives me a fruitcake, I got to send them a thank you card. In spite of the fact that its only use is either for a doorstep or a wheel chalk or a paperweight or a speed bump. Jesus has given us the most practical gift of all. Eternal life for those who turn to Him. Hey, listen, it's something we all need. It's something we all want. It's something we all have got to have because without it we die and we perish and we spend eternity apart from Him. How much more practical could you get? And then thirdly, the Lord not only gave us a personal gift in Jesus and a practical gift, but number three, it was a pleasing gift. Isn't it great when you just crush it? I mean, you just nail it. You give the perfect gift and the person is so pleased and so happy. You know, I wouldn't give my wife or my mother a fishing rod for Christmas because it's just not what they're interested in. They'd be generous. They'd be great. You know, they'd be gracious as they took it and they'd appreciate it as a gift, but neither one of them wants a fishing rod for Christmas. I want to give them something that's pleasing, right? We all want to do that. Can I witness to you this morning? Can I just bear witness for a minute that the most pleasing thing that could ever happen to your life and the most pleasing thing that has ever happened in my life is to know for sure that I am a child of God because I've trusted Christ and His blood has washed away my sins. And no matter what else happens in time and eternity, nothing can ever separate me from His love. There's nothing greater than that. It's the most pleasing thing. I mean, think about it at Christmas time. The only real need that you have on your Christmas list is to be cleansed from your sins. It's to have the blood of Jesus applied and provided in your life. And He has satisfied the deepest longings of my heart. I don't worry about significance in life because my significance comes from being a child of the King. I'm a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then lastly this morning, the gift that God gave us in Jesus was a personal gift, was a practical gift, was a pleasing gift. And number four, it's a permanent gift. The Bible says that when we trust Jesus Christ, our life is hid with Christ in God. Jesus said, "I give my sheep eternal life. No one can separate them. Nobody can take them out of my hand." Paul said, "What shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And he lists everything in the world in time and eternity. You know, there's really nothing more that we could ask for than to know that we have the gift of eternal life. And as I've been standing here talking to you, the Lord has just sort of impressed upon me. If I had a chance to go over and do it again, I'd add one more thing. I'd add number five. And you know what it would be? It would be the fact that this is a purchased gift. Was it Milton Friedman was the first one that said there ain't no such thing as a free lunch? And we talk about the gift of salvation being free. That's only partially true. You understand that, right? Because free means it doesn't cost anybody anything. And if you think that following Jesus Christ won't cost you something, you probably are mistaken about that. The cost of following the Lord is really everything. Because Jesus comes into your life and He says, "I'm Master, I'm the Lord," and He'll accept no other idols. And so it does kind of cost. I understand. You don't have to pay for it. I get it. It's a gift. We just receive it. We just accept it. But listen very carefully this morning. Our salvation cost our Heavenly Father very dearly. Didn't it? Very dearly. There are some of you in this room. In fact, for the size of congregation this is, I would argue an inordinately high number of you know the pain of bearing a child. You know what that feels like. Our hearts go out to you. Those of us that have never experienced that, we know that we have no ability to enter into and sympathize. We can only feel for you in the way that God gives us the grace and the ability to. God knows exactly what that feels like. Except it's different. Because as you stop and think about it, every one of us, we have a finite time at which we remember life before our children were born. And so there's a finite time. Jesus Christ dwelt with God the Father from eternity past, there was never a time, there was never a moment when the two of them weren't there together, having a deepest and greatest love beyond our human ability to comprehend. And yet God is so holy and so righteous that he turned his back on his son when my sins and when your sins were laid on him at the cross. He knows. But in doing that, he secured for us forever a permanent place in his family. And I'm very, very grateful for that at this Christmas season. When you gather around Thursday or Friday or whatever the tradition is in your family and in your home for giving and receiving gifts, and somebody puts one in your lap and you look at it and you get ready to unwrap it and open it, there's just one thing that you got to do. There's just one thing left to do. What is it? Open it. Take it. Enjoy it. This is how we accept salvation. God's done everything. Listen, he's placed it right in your lap. He's done everything necessary. And you're sitting there with the greatest gift in the world right on your lap. And it's decision time. I can't ever imagine how it would ever be. Nobody's ever done it to me. But if I worked so hard to get a gift that was personal and practical and that I knew would be pleasing and even had the luxury of being permanent and it was purchased at a great price, and I gave it to somebody and I laid it on their lap and they handed it back to me and said, I think I'm doing pretty good this Christmas. I don't think I need any gifts. Could you just go ahead and take this back? It's a nice thought. I just don't think I need it right now. It's just not for me. I've never had anybody do that. I'll bet most of you, if not all of you, you've never experienced that. But people do that every single day with the greatest gift that could ever be had. People say, I'm doing okay. Life's not so bad. A lot of people need that religious stuff. You know what? For me, I'm doing okay. And besides, look at all the hypocrites and look at all the inconsistencies and look at all this and look at all that and look at all the other. You know what they do? They insult our Heavenly Father by handing the gift back and saying, I just don't think I need this right now. Listen, when I had the opportunity to trust Jesus and I had that gift sitting right there on my lap, boy, I didn't want anything more than just to have it. And every day, that's been over 40 years ago in my life, but every day now, I'm so thankful, I'm so grateful. And I'm like the kid, I don't know if you've seen the little cartoon or the little animated feature that comes out at Christmas, the Polar Express. It's a neat little thing. There, the poor little kid from the other side of the tracks, man, when he sees that gift is on that conveyor and it has his name on it, he goes running down that conveyor, he spreads eagle, he grabs onto that gift, and he's ready for that thing to pull him through whatever it has to, but he's not letting go. And I emote with that so strongly because that's how I feel about the gift of Jesus in my life. I've got it. And he says he'll never let me go. As much as lies in me, I don't ever want to let him go either. And I'm so grateful for that gift this Christmas. Something else that we need to give to the Lord Jesus Christ once we've received his gift, there's an opportunity for us to turn around and present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is just our reasonable service. It's our gift of worship. It's an opportunity for all of us to examine our hearts and lives, see if there's any areas in our lives that we haven't completely given over to his lordship, if we're in disobedience to Jesus in any area of our lives. It's time for us to look at that and say, it's just right time to give this up. It's time to give this over. The greatest gift ever given. Greatest gift ever received, ever had. Bow with me this morning as we look to the Lord in prayer. I'll ask our musicians to come and we'll have a time for you to respond. Father, today if the response needed in our hearts is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and begin a relationship with you, I pray that you would help those under that need to see it. I can never convince them of their need. I can only tell the truth. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit would set upon hearts and do what I can never do. And Father, today, for those of us that have received that gift, I pray that there would be nothing in our hearts and lives that's held back, that's not given over and surrendered to the rightful owner. who has purchased us permanently with His blood. Father, I pray that these thoughts would be in our hearts and minds throughout this Christmas season. Whatever the need in our heart is this morning, I pray that in this time of invitation that You would speak and let us be quick to listen. We'll thank You and praise You in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Every single Sunday we do this. I hope it doesn't become common to you. It's a chance for us to respond to what we've heard. If you need to trust Christ as Lord and Savior, or if you just did that and you want to make a public profession, come stand beside me and tell me. I'd love to be able to help you. If you want me to pray with you about some other need in your life, again, come let me know. Microphone will be turned down. We'll make sure that we pray and seek the Lord's face. If you want to find a place here to pray during this time, that's okay too. The important thing is that you do exactly what the Lord leads you to do.